Welcome to our next episode of the 5 Moments of Need AI Matters podcast series. This is Chris King, one of the co-hosts you'll meet throughout the series. We aim to bring order and focus to the AI discussion in and around the L&D world, exploring how it aligns with frameworks like the 5 Moments of Need and content management. Throughout the coming months, we will be sharing both expert insights and real-life examples from practitioners. In this AI Matters podcast, Con Godfredson and I sat down with Angie Hubert, Learning Strategy and Innovation Manager, and the lead for Learning Operations and Enablement for Global Operations at Meta, the parent company of Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, and a big part of what I suspect is much of your daily digital life. We'll explore how her team is integrating AI and strategically managing it with a robust governance framework. Angie shares with us some of the incredible work her and her team have accomplished at Meta, particularly how they've used structured content with AI to directly support job performance and streamline operations across Meta's global landscape.
Hey, welcome everyone. It's wonderful to have you join us on this podcast. This is going to be a wonderful discussion because we're joined today by Angie Hubert, who is a remarkable learning leader. I've had the privilege of working closely with Angie now for the last 4 years, and we're going to discuss some of that work today and how that work has impacted the ability of Angie and her team and Meta to actually move forward in a most amazing way when it comes to AI. Welcome, Angie. It's wonderful to have you with us.
Always wonderful to talk to you, Con.
Well, listen, I'd like you to take just a moment and help our listeners understand your background. I mean, you're a learning leader at Meta, but you come to all of that with some remarkable experience. Would you just take a minute and help us understand how you have gotten to where you are today?
Happy to. And I'm excited to represent a lot of the work that my team has been doing at Meta in partnership with yourself, Con, and others. And I'm just really excited to talk about the journey that we've been on. But as for me, I have been in learning my entire career. I won't say how long that is. And I really came about it by way of my undergrad is in education and my secondary was computer science. And so I wanted to be a high school computer science teacher and eventually go into administration back at a time when the students were even, I'm no engineer, they were coding circles around me. And we were learning C++ and Visual Basic. So if anyone is a nerd like me at heart, you'll appreciate the timing there. But I had decided really quickly in my student teaching that this was going to be a huge emotional toll for me personally. So all the love and appreciation to educators out there, you do tremendous work. And so I kind of think about my career in chapters post that. My first chapter was very traditional. So I started off in the traditional training environment doing stand and delivers, really teaching people everything from onboarding into their roles or how to use at that time tools like Microsoft Word and Excel, which might sound a little bit silly, but at that time was pretty, we needed training. That was the first part of my career. I did get a master's in instructional design. So a lot of that traditional experience in terms of training and instructional and curriculum design, even e-learning back in the days of FrameMaker and some of the other early authorware, anyone, some of those early tools. But I've always had a passion and a love for technology. And it's always been, this is an undercurrent in my career and something that I really feel passionately about. The next chapter is when I moved into consulting for learning technology organizations. And so I spent a good chunk of my career working for software companies that had learning technology. And I would partner with our customers to implement those solutions and help them configure, optimize, and adopt those solutions. And I had a lot of experience at this chapter with learning content management systems or LCMSs, helping really large organizations wrangle their content at a time when, content was exploding. And there was a great need for that, as e-learning came in, it was like, well, now we got to create even more content and it's going all over. So I had a lot of experience with that in that chapter, as well as implementing learning management systems and tools that supported social learning, if you remember that part of our...
That's a throwback.
Professional, yeah. And then the next chapter, I'll be getting to this chapter. The next chapter, I spent some time on the commercial side of organizations, supporting sales and really operations. And in that, I would again partner with customers and help them solve job performance and learning challenges with technology. But I had this really interesting experience of working on the sales and ops side of like, okay, how do we do this? How do we make sure that we are supporting our customers, but also we're meeting the right needs, ensuring their success, but ensuring the success of the organization. As a learning professional, I had been so removed from in the companies I worked in, how did we make money? And so that was a really cool part of my career because I still got to work in this space that I love, which is learning and talent development, but it was specifically focused on commercial sales and operations. Which brings me to my time at Meta. I had been craving getting back to working in, at that time, thinking a more traditional learning organization. I was ready to go back to supporting learning teams and leading learning teams specifically that were focused on solving challenges from a job performance perspective. And a side note, I really wanted to do something impactful. Yes, it's helpful to help companies get new technology, but I had this craving to have a really big impact in the work that I was doing. Little did I know what I would manifest. So currently, I have the amazing opportunity experience to work at Meta. When I joined, it was still Facebook. And so you may know Meta and its products, but I'll kind of set the stage of the products that we support holistically as a company. Most folks know our social technology, Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp. We also, in the time that I've been here, have really leaped forward into the view of the future around the metaverse, which of course is powered by AI, right? There's such a key component of AI in that future vision. And so there are also hardware applications there, like the Quest, if anyone has used that product. And I'll talk about this later, very cool technology that is, I think, you know, at the precipice of the future when it comes to augmented reality with Meta Ray-Bans. Those are the glasses that you can use. So that's a kind of big picture view of Meta to set the stage. I'm almost there. So specific to my team and the work that we do, I work in global operations on a learning team that supports global operations. What does that mean? Global operations supports the tens of thousands of human reviewers around the world that are keeping our platform safe. And so as you can imagine, what is their job? They are responding to requests. If you're in one of our family of apps that say, hey, I think this content is violating a standard that you all have. And they're responding to those requests or responding to those reports. There's a lot more to it than that. But when I think back to that time of wanting to do something impactful and knowing that the team I'm on is supporting job performance of tens of thousands of people globally, speaking 50 over languages, supporting billions of daily active users and the true impact that that job performance has on people, because really what we're doing is connecting people. It blows me away. And it's just really an honor to be a part of the team.
And your title right now is?
So I lead learning operations and enablement for global operations. And my team are focused on all of the foundations and frameworks, processes, tooling, and enabling that our team, the learning team, can execute on consistent processes that will ensure that our learners have an experience that supports them at their moment of need.
Yeah. And the last 3 years, I've had the privilege of working closely with you, Angie, and observing the remarkable work that your team has done in the arena of managing learning content and of single source publishing. You know, you're one of the few organizations who has successfully moved into that arena and structured your content in such a way that you can publish in multiple modalities from a single source of content. And it's been really amazing watching that, which will lead into some of our discussions today. Yeah. So thank you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah. So Angie, I mean, we can't have a L&D podcast these days and not mention AI. So here's my contractually obliged mention of AI, but we are going to get more into the how are you using it, but really let's start with the why. Why are you and your team digging into AI right now and actively pursuing it? I mean, above and beyond the fact that Meta has an amazing Llama 2 open source AI available to everybody.
Yeah, great question. My sort of short response, and then I'll give you a longer response, is Meta is leading the space when it comes to AI and has been working with AI and implementing AI across all of the solutions that folks utilize from us. I know that we're at a particular point in time where generative AI is, everyone is aware of the capabilities and starting to utilize it and figure out how are we using generative AI in order to optimize processes, create efficiency, and what does that future look like? You know, the simple answer is AI has been an undercurrent at Meta for many, many years. It's important. It's in our DNA at Meta to leverage technology and artificial intelligence in order to optimize the work that we're doing. So I think that's a really important part, is that it's a bit of part of our DNA. Now, why is my team thinking about this? Or why are we actively pursuing this, I think was the question that you asked. And we have a tremendous amount of, as I mentioned, people that we support when it comes to their job performance, and their job is changing frequently. As you can imagine, so I'll give some context what that means. I mentioned that we support human reviewers around the world who are responding to when you might report something that you see on a platform. Those policies change. As things change in the world, those policies change. And so the way they do their job and the way that they apply, that changes very frequently. Now, compound that with over 50 languages supported, multiple different areas of Meta supported. So we aren't just talking about supporting the community experience on, I'll just use like Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp. We're also now talking about how are we supporting our communities in the metaverse? How are we supporting our communities, our advertisers? How are we supporting our customer support agents? Like, it just keeps exponentially growing. And in order to do that in the most optimal way as an operations team, we have to find ways to do these things with greater efficiency at greater scale. And so that is why we are actively pursuing AI.
Yeah, and my time working closely with you and your team, Angie, has confirmed what you just said. I mean, the learning at the speed of change, adapting and adjusting to change. I'll tell you, I have seldom been in an organization that has to face change at the level and scope, the magnitude, really, that you are facing at a worldwide level. You know, it's just astonishing. And I would say that it was intriguing to me 3 years ago to really begin to see the pursuit of AI in helping genuinely keep the world safe. And I do want to express that. I've had a chance to work closely with you and the team and across the Global Operations Learning Group. And I find there a genuine desire to help the world be safe and to make the world a better place. And so thank you for that. You know, there's so much happening today in the realm of AI. You can't look anywhere without people talking about it. There, every webinar, every conference, all that's going on. And bringing order to all of that is a real challenge. How do we, in a systematic, ordered way, look at where we are and where things are, and then at the same time gather that, but also then use that to envision the future in a way that will practically allow us to do something? And it's been exciting to me to see what you and your team are accomplishing. But my experience is that we have to look at AI through the lens of frameworks. And anyone listening to this series of podcasts is going to find out that I'm going to talk a lot about those frameworks. And there are a number of frameworks that I see that you have been taking on at Meta that have relevance to AI. For example, learning content management, the stellar work that you're doing with implementing true learning content management by taking unstructured content and structuring it in such a way. I'd like you to share with us how that journey in terms of learning content management is helping you move forward with AI technology to actually work smarter and do more.
Yeah, I'm happy to share more about that, Khan. And I do want to take a moment just to say thank you for recognizing the work and your experience working with the team. Meta has a global reach and billions of daily active users. And so I imagine that most everyone that hears this has an experience with Meta and has a perception. And it is really humbling to me to represent a team, specifically the learning team in Global Ops, who all care so much. Everyone I work with cares so much about this work. And I always want to take an opportunity to recognize that because I think it's really important. So thanks for pointing that out. So let's talk about frameworks. A couple of things I was come to mind as you were talking through that, Khan. And I think the first thing is around methodology. Going down this path of frameworks and how we put frameworks into place, something that's been really important for my team and the work that we've done has been around rooting ourselves in methodology. And I'm here talking to you. And so it would be hopefully no surprise that we've been adopting the five moments of need methodology for some time now and really making it a core part of guiding principles in how we're thinking about supporting our learners in all of their moments of need. So the methodology is really important before I go into the frameworks. Then when it comes to the framework, so that's our guiding principles. And I think, Khan, what would you always say? Methodology without application, I think, is it?
Methodology begets technology as well.
There we are. Yep. Yeah. And so I'll talk about technology next, but I think there's another piece maybe we have to talk about before we say methodology begets technology. It's methodology begets processes and infrastructure that begets technology. And I think too often we can go down the path, and I've experienced this earlier in my career when I was talking about consulting and how I would have even maybe thought about implementing certain technology solutions of we have to agree on the processes and the standards and the infrastructure, and then we can use the technology. And so for my team, the frameworks that have been guiding the work around content management, and one piece is around content management. It's also been our methodology of applying the five moments of need, how we have transformed that into our own processes for ourselves, and providing our own performance support, by the way, really with that vision, that long-term North Star vision. That vision has always been sort of a short phrase, if you will, and it's continued to evolve how we're implementing that. And so our vision has been to provide, to support our learners in their moment of need through workflow learning and at scale, that's really important, powered by AI. That's always been our sort of long-term vision and North Star. And so additionally within that, around the frameworks of learning content management, how we think about learning content management has been that design methodology I mentioned, rooted in five moments of need and workflow learning. And then there's also a performance consulting approach that's been a key framework aligned to our methodology. So it's really the end-to-end process that we've looked at and then gotten specific about how we execute on it in order to deliver solutions that support job performance for our learners.
Well, so all of that, the whole methodology, the framework, but then the speed, sometimes you have to go slow to go fast, right? And so I've watched the tremendous effort that you've made in the realm of managing learning content and single source publishing. And it's required you to invest a lot in structuring your content. But what I've seen coming out of that is some really smart capabilities that you really have helped AI work more intelligently, more consistently, and so forth, because of the framework of single source publishing and structured authoring. And
interesting. I think when I joined here, we were thinking about managing learning content already. Why? Content explosion. No secret, we have that challenge, right? Our team was creating content to support formal learning and performance support in the form of job aids, but a lot of formal learning. So they were creating traditional formal learning assets around like slides and e-learns and job aids and those types of things, right? And so the learning content management need was there. It was in alignment with methodology a bit, but it's all sort of come to fruition in this really big strategy that is going to power our solutions in AI. When we think about learning content management, we know that we're going to add some additional outputs. We need to provide more performance support to our learners. Okay, let's layer on another thing that we have to maintain. And remember, our content changes every day. There is so much content that we deal with. And when it changes, it's an exponential challenge. And so bringing all of that content into one place, which for us is a learning content management system, was one win, right? Just get it all in one place so that it's not stored in multiple places and authored in multiple places. But then it was, but we want to reuse it because we know that that content can be used across maybe multiple experiences, from onboarding to cross training to performance support. And we don't want to update it multiple times. Oh, and it might appear in multiple modalities or multiple surfaces. So it could be in the e-learn, could be in the slide, could be, you know, in performance support. And so add all that. And we have a huge challenge and we need to bring everything into one place. And so that really became a lot of the work that we did in terms of like go slow to go fast was how are we going to organize and design our content to ensure that it could be reusable. And I always say single sourceable. That might be like an old school way. I know some people talk about multimodal delivery, but really the heart of it is we want to author it once, we want to update it once. And so we spent a lot of time on the architecture of that. And when I say architecture, I don't mean technology. I mean the structures of content. How can we get to a place where we don't have so many structures for our team to think of when they're designing and developing? How can we streamline those structures into chunks that are highly reusable, but also that aren't a huge lift to me for authors to use? And so we decided that, you know, our methodology was we're going to use, we call them RCOs, reusable content objects. Con, you know, I have that like LCMS background. And so I remember back when RLOs were a thing and Cisco and all that stuff, like, you know, and the big differentiation for us is that the chunk, that information is not just for learning. And so we call them reusable content objects. Those are the pieces that make up a wider architecture. And that solves a really big business problem for us around efficiency, ensuring our content is accurate. Oh, by the way, what happens when branding changes? Like maybe your company changes its name from Facebook to Meta. Like how do you get through all of that? And it solves a really big problem on content management. But your real question I'm going to get to now is around AI and what's that doing for us. It's two things. Number one is with all of the generative AI solutions that have exponentially increased within the course of, I mean, even the last year that are available to us, which we do have our own internal, and I'll talk later about external, because we have those structures and we know that, oh, you're going to develop an FAQ, please do it this way, have this structure. Oh, this is a concept. This is supporting knowledge that you need. Please develop it in this structure. Oh, well, we can train our generative AI or our AI internally to say, here's the type of structure. Here's your knowledge management. Here's the information from your SME. Transform it into the structure for me.
Yeah.
So that's one.
Let me just interject here. So one of the things that we did in working together in this is identified this minimum subset of types of content and defining the structures for that, mm-hmm. knowing that these reusable content objects would become the building blocks. But those structures, those content types, the different, as you mentioned, FAQs, procedures, supporting knowledge, that are the building blocks, knowing those and structuring them, then you can get help through AI to help you initially, at least, publish into those structures, right? From all the unstructured content that you have.
Yes, exactly right. And that was when you talk about going slow to go fast, we did a lot of work there.
Yeah.
I feel we had really great leadership vision and support to, you know, give us that space to ensure that we could bring that to fruition. A lot of amazing work across the team. And we've pressure tested it in other areas of Meta as well, because we are not the only learning team. And so while it might, you might think, oh, do you have to go and create your own architecture? And then it's just for that area. We've actually pressure tested it. The next thing around AI that is also powering for us is now, how do we take that and train AI that our learners would interact with, or even our folks who are using our performance support to, you know, to author or to do their job? And so the direction that we're headed now is, because we have this structured content, because we know what an FAQ is and it's in a system that allows us to tag it and so on and so forth, we are working on feeding that into the idea of an AI coach to provide that performance support. So the interesting thing is it's supporting both sides of created these structures, use AI that has some context and teach it the context, and then you can take your subject matter expertise, put it into the system, then use that to train, let's say, an AI coach.
Yeah, visionary. That's amazing. Exciting.
Yeah. So let me pull us. These are remarkable details, Angie, and you and your team have done amazing work. And I think the thing that strikes me is the focus on that holy grail of performance support that everybody thinks about too late, and that's governance. And the whole idea of the structured data and going slow to go fast, because you have to have that structure in place. And you said it, you know, in order to supercharge moving the methodology into the technology, you got to have that layer of governance and structure in place. So are there other cautions that you might be able to offer up for people that are starting to move in the same direction that you're moving?
There are a few. And I think one thing I want to mention is that some of what we're bringing to fruition, we're still experimenting and testing. And so I may have more to say about this as we test and experiment providing an AI coach to our learners. And I say that to say that one potential risk or area to be aware of is in how you're training models and their potential to hallucinate. And so depending on the work that you're doing, that can have a pretty dramatic effect. Now, let's say that I'm in sales and I am working with an AI bot and I give the wrong answer on, you know, the impact there is we could lose a sale or set a misunderstanding. But if you're using an AI coach in, you know, high risk environment where the impact of failure is high, like healthcare or even ensuring that content on a platform is keeping people safe, then I think there's a lot more to explore and experiment and validate when it comes to potential hallucinations. I think that's one. In addition to that, we have been experimenting with generating not just learning content, but also how can we generate assessment items using AI. And that's an area that I think I would say we want to be really mindful about. We have the luxury of having someone on our team who has expertise here. But if we are graduating people using test items, let's say, or, you know, some way that we're checking their knowledge, we're graduating them into the job using content and test items created by AI, we need to make sure they're valid. And but that doesn't just go to validating the test items. We've got to go back into how we've trained the models.
Yeah. And the minute that you start making a judgment about people, and there are implications, the moral implications, really, we can't just, measurement can't be just done by chance. We've got to make sure that they're valid and reliable. And that is an area where AI could be very helpful. We just need to pursue it, right? One other area that I'd like to talk about, and that is that in the world, just stepping back to the world of learning content management, one of the real challenges in managing information is establishing the metadata around that, wrapping proper metadata, tagging it properly, and so forth. And that can be labor intensive. What do you see happening in the future in terms of AI helping us take the vast amount of information and making it more accessible through its analyzing that and giving us metadata that can help us manage it even more in a more helpful way?
I think that is an area that is really interesting and that we're going to be exploring as well. I think that happens in different areas within Meta, but getting to that place, I think if I step back, what we're talking about, these are things that can be very manual, but we can use AI to look at something and make a recommendation on, let's say, where should it be in our taxonomy, or how do I metadata tag it to make sure I use it? So analyzing that information and giving me a recommendation, I think, is a tremendous opportunity.
So thank you for all that you're doing in the realm of structuring. I think we can make AI a lot smarter, help it be smarter in what we do with the type of content. This is an FAQ versus this is a task, a principle-based task, or this is, you know, supporting knowledge that you need to understand. Those kinds of things can really help us then do much more as we step in and say, now help us create the solutions that we need to create. You've talked about an AI coach, but there are also things that we need to produce, right? There are things that you're producing beyond that in the world of learning. And when you've worked through and structured your content, that does influence the ability for AI then to begin to do stuff with that content to help accelerate what it is that we need to build and create. Is that fair? Because I see you doing some amazing things, by the way, you know, in terms of generating a lesson plan, in terms of, you know, the kinds of solutions that you need to create.
I think so. And it's been really exciting in this area. It's something that we continue to test and experiment and explore. You know, when I was talking about generating learning content into these structures, one of the things that's really helping us to supercharge this journey is our vision of putting all of our content into one place that can be organized by a taxonomy, metadata tagged, and then extricated in a variety of different ways. And so I think that's really going to help us to continue to evolve how we are producing content out of the system. And imagine if we could, let's say, query a system and say, I'm interested in content about something that will also give me, we used FAQs as an example, and having AI transform that into something that is supporting our learners in the right moment of need. Like, I think that's definitely in the future. And I do feel like we've supercharged what we can do there and how we continue to experiment. I also think that having all of that information in a really structured place will allow us to train, you know, again, those AI coaches as an example. So those are things that we are working toward as we continue on our journey of getting all of our content into highly reusable, chunked pieces of information that can be served up to various modalities.
All right, Angie, this is really eye-opening and enlightening and just inspiring all the way around to hear about all of the work that you and your team are doing on this to really kind of harness the potential of AI. So why don't we wrap up here by you telling us a little bit about how you're using Meta's own AI, and you mentioned internally and externally. So tell us a little bit about Llama 2 and how you're using it.
Yeah, I'm happy to talk about that. And I'm excited. I have an amazing team who gets into the very technical details around how we are working with our internal AI. But as I said earlier, Meta is a leader in AI and has a lot of open source available resources that folks can use. And so one place I like to point people is to ai.meta.com to learn not only about the solutions, but also about the hows. Khan, you brought up a really important point around the research and the ethical impacts of AI, and Meta has been investing heavily in the research here, and you can learn more about that at ai.meta.com. From there, you can navigate in to learn more about Llama. Llama is Meta's large language model, and Llama 2 is the one that you can access, and it's open source. So I hear a lot of folks that are in learning and supporting talent development often reference some of the names out there that you're sort of using an off-the-shelf version of trained models. It's been trained. You want to train it, you're going to have to invest there. And so it's not to say you don't have to invest in your usage of these models and how to train them, but Meta is invested in ensuring that the models are open source and fully accessible. So if you go into Llama, llama.meta.com, you can learn all about that. And you can take, there's tons of learning out there that you can learn on that particular hub. And then the last thing that I want to mention is if you are in, again, meta.ai.com and then /GenAI, that's where you can learn about the open source, publicly available, free to use generative AI solutions. Some of the things that were announced toward the end of last year was, first and foremost, there are solutions there that will allow you to create your own content in addition to that imagery. So you can use Imagine, which allows you to put in prompts and we'll have images that are created. And we've explored that for training purposes. You can also use the publicly available tools to create things like content stickers, and then there are AIs that are available that you can interact with. Multiple AIs were launched last year. And when I say an AI like that, I mean a trained in a specialty AI bot, but they've been personified. So I highly encourage you. There's some fun ones out there that have likenesses from some popular figures. So there's one that is really entertaining. If you go take a look and if you see any of what Mark talks about, our CEO, is like one of them that they showed was an AI bot that is a chess expert, but it has a Snoop Dogg persona. And so they've not only been trained with a likeness, but the ability to interact with you and ask questions, but they have their personality as well. And there's more and more of that. And when I think about the future, like, I think that's where we're going to be able to go in supporting our learners. How do we make sure that if I'm onboarding, I have a bot that maybe that represents the CEO who I can ask questions? I don't know. And so you can interact with some of those AIs that have been launched and they'll continue to evolve. There's tons more, but I would be remiss to not mention what I talked about earlier, which is the Meta Ray-Bans. So those are glasses that were launched the year before last, and the initial launch provided the capability for you to have really great opportunity to like connect to your phone and hear. You could listen to podcasts. You could have a conversation through the glasses. Now, those are awesome because you can, you know, walk and talk and you can still hear and see what's going around you. And you can also take video and audio with them. But what launched last year is the addition of AI. And so you can summon AI through the glasses. You can say like, hey, Meta, what time is it in Sydney right now? For example. And so you don't have to go open something. You can have that integrated. And what was announced also at the end of last year now is the AI's ability to use the camera and the audio to make even more informed information and recommendations. And so if you see any of the publicly available stuff that like Mark has posted as an example, he has an example where he looks at, you know, a shirt and says, hey, Meta, what would go good with this shirt? And it'll tell you like, oh, that's a neutral color. Go ahead and pair it with brown shoes. I used it once. I opened my fridge and I said, hey, Meta, what could I make for dinner? And it gave me all these suggestions, recognizing, you know, the different types of like fruits and vegetables and things in my fridge. And so that I think is really important because when we start tying together all of these pieces, imagine the support we can provide for our learners and provide in the moment of need in terms of job performance. I think that a lot of this is all going to really come to fruition. So I encourage people to go out there, take a look at all of the different ways that Meta is really innovating and leading in AI. And then take advantage of the generative AI that is publicly available and our models that are open source.
My mind is full of ideas right now about how we can apply all these things in a learning and development world. And to your point, how are we going to layer in that five moments of need layer in the AI so that it has the right context on how to answer the questions people are going to be giving us?
You know, and this is what we have to do. We have to look at these amazing things that are going on in AI and then begin to look at them in the context of organizational learning and enabling effective job performance. For example, we're working with a number of manufacturing companies today. So I think it's very exciting to think about walking towards a piece of equipment that I've got to use, you know, work with in order to do what I need to do on the production line, and for my digital coach to see that machine and to proactively say, oh, so how can I help you do this and this, you know, where you can then ask a question. There's just such tremendous opportunity here. But we have to take all of these capabilities that we're seeing, you know, looking at a fridge and figuring out what I can do, and then rethinking that in terms of now in the world of work, how does this work? And as we do that, great things are going to happen.
I agree. And I think, Khan, something that has really been transformative for me in this role and also working with you is focusing on the apply moment. And so to your point, you're talking about all of these different ways that we can use AI. How do we look at the workflow and then look for ways that we optimize the workflow?
Yeah.
I could give you another example of something that we have incorporated. I did want to give some more concrete examples as well. We have a course around, let's say, communication. And that course is something that everyone takes. And we have practice labs and all of those things, which is wonderful. Well, now I'm applying it. Now I'm writing something that I need to communicate to my team. What can I do? We've been experimenting with training our internal models to then say, okay, we've trained you. We have created prompt templates so that they can be summoned very quickly and say, I was going to post this. How does this meet the framework of what I learned in that class? Give me feedback in the moment. That's one that we've been working on that I think is a really good application example.
Thank you for your time today and having this conversation with us. We're going to have another conversation down the road and actually dive deeper into some real world applications that you're doing with some of your team members and look forward to that conversation and your joining us, Angie. Thank you everyone for listening. Thank you, Chris, for joining me. Angie, you're amazing. You have an amazing team. Thank you for all that you're doing and we'll stay tuned.
Well, that's it for this episode of the 5 Moments of Need AI Matters podcast series. Angie shared quite a journey today, from the strategic implementation of AI and structured content management to enhance learning outcomes, to the significance of governance and frameworks like the 5 Moments of Need in guiding those technological integrations. This discussion not only reflects Meta's commitment to innovation, but also underscores the importance of scalability, efficiency, and a methodological approach to content management. We look forward to future conversations about how to best put the 5 Moments of Need into practice with artificial intelligence. We welcome your feedback and can be reached on LinkedIn at the 5 Moments of Need or on our website, www.5momentsofneed.com. We hope you're finding these helpful and that you'll subscribe for future episodes. Have a great day, friends.